Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, talk to me a little bit about your reaction, personally, professionally, to the election of Trump as the president of the United States.
From a professional standpoint, in particular from the perspective of someone who does survey research, it has caused me to ask some questions about the polls and what we were expecting based on the polls and how they missed. And I'm certainly not alone. Throughout our field, people are asking these questions now.
Well, what's interesting, Tim Versalotti, is Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Of course, she lost in the Electoral College. So the polls, which were showing this very tenuous lead on her part, 1% of 2%, weren't all wrong.
No. And if you were to apply margin of error to those national surveys, you would indeed see that the final outcome would fall within the margin of error. The big question is, how did so many state-level polls miss in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin in particular? Wisconsin, which never had Trump in the lead in the pre-election polling. Those are the questions that a lot of folks are asking about today.
Okay, so let's come up with some hypotheses about what could have happened there. I've often said on the air and in other places, and by the way, I did say he was going to win, Trump was going to win, but I've often said that the way that this thing works is that some people will not talk to their mothers, their priests, or their pollsters when they're about to commit an act which they know will bring social enmity. And I'm wondering whether that's what happened here.
There is a name for that. It varies by which side of the Atlantic you're on. In Britain, it's called the shy Tory effect, that when you're reaching individuals on a telephone, they're less likely to reveal that they're voting for a party that they believe is generally unpopular. And so there is that speculation. Was it simply the fact that either Trump supporters didn't respond, or that when they did respond, they weren't truthful? And we can compare the demographics of the people who responded to the demographics of the population to get a sense of that. But there's another possibility, and it is that in pre-election polling, pollsters create a likely voter model. And then they take a look and say, based on this model, and there are a number of measures you can ask regarding interest in the election, voter history, probability of voting, you reach a cutoff and you look at your electorate and you say, is this what the electorate will look like? And it may be that a lot of the likely voter models did not anticipate the white working class voters who came out in the numbers that they did, and therefore that sent some estimates off the mark.
So how did they do that? In other words, how did they decide who's coming out and who's not? And let me append an additional question to that. And then, you know, it seems to me one of the toughest things that you pollsters have to do is to figure out what the motivation and intensity in each potential group is. So that...
Yes.
Okay, so you get it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So sometimes... You think you look at history and you look at the national exit poll or a state level exit poll if one was done in your state, and you say, does this election more closely resemble, say, 2004 when George W. Bush was running for re-election and Kerry was his opponent, or does it more closely resemble 2008 when Obama was first on the ticket, or 2012 when he was seeking re-election? Some of the assumptions that were applied this year were, number one, young people were not fired up. So you wouldn't expect the percentage of young people to show up who did the two times President Obama was on the ballot. Two, that you might not expect African Americans to turn out in as large numbers as they did in 2008 and 2012. And three, that you might see a bit of a surge of Latino voters just based on the rhetoric of the campaign. Then the question becomes, now what about the white working class? Education is a powerful predictor of turning out to vote. Do you bump them up on the anticipation they are responding to Trump's message, or not? Mm. So that's a judgment call. That's as much intuition as it is empirical, and sometimes you make the wrong choice.
So that is so interesting, because we do know that there was this divide between the so-called middle class, lower middle class, working persons, particularly in the Rust Belt states, and the college-educated folks who were seen as the sort of liberal elitists. I got an email last night during the election, as we speak, which basically said that the person who was writing had a certain amount of schadenfreude, but also that we liberals, we really ought to understand that it was now time for us to take, you know, a little bit of punishment here. So how do you figure that? You ask questions when you're doing the polling?
You might. I think you have to be very careful about how you phrase these questions, because you don't want to tip your hand. You don't want people to shade the answers in a direction they think you do or don't want. And so what you might do is ask about enthusiasm, for example. And if you've got some trend on that, where you could go back a couple of cycles and say, okay, so these were the groups who were enthusiastic in this cycle. What am I seeing this year? Okay, enthusiasm is up among white working class voters. I might need to bump them up a little bit in my model. But again, a lot depends on getting folks to answer your surveys, getting a critical mass of that particular slice of the electorate in your sample, and then being able then to make some judgments about, in the end, how much of the population will they make up when people actually go to vote. It's as much art as it is science, and an imperfect art as at that.
So I only have a couple of minutes here, but I want to ask you something. You're a political scientist. You know your stuff. The one thing it seems to me that was really crucial about this election that I argued with a lot of people about was the Supreme Court. And yet, I'm getting the feeling that, you know, most people didn't know about it or care about it.
Yeah, and I think in part it may be because of the Senate majority's handling of the current vacancy on the court. Unprecedented to intentionally leave a vacancy open for the length of time that they did. And it reached the point where senators were saying, well, if Hillary Clinton wins, and these would be Republican senators, we may never fill that opening. We could drop down to 7. We could drop down to 6. The original Supreme Court had 6 justices. And it took some of the air out of that issue in terms of what happens in the future. And yet, the practical matter is that will have significant consequences now, because it's very clear that Republicans controlling the Congress and the White House will fill that opening with someone to their liking, probably somebody very young, to leave a mark on the court for a long time to come.
Well, we love talking with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and one of the brightest guys we have on our air here. Thank you, Tim, for being with us. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about people like Senator Warren, see what we come up with.
I look forward to it.